Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
All right, all right. Hello, friends, and welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks so much for tuning in again tonight. We love it that you're here with us. And as you probably know by now, this show is for all you songwriters and musicians and performers out there who just are trying to figure out how things work here in Music City.
That's right. Now, we don't know anything.
When we say that, we really mean it.
We really do. Yeah. We're being very sincere when we say that on our eighth year, we still are trying to figure it out. We're out there slinging songs during the day, just like you guys are. But we are able to find the right people, bring them into the studio, and give you the chance to pick their brains along with us.
Yeah, and boy, did we do that tonight. You're going to want to join the conversation. Go to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow. You can also hit us up on Twitter, @TheMusicRowShow, and if you're so inclined to just do it the old-fashioned way, you can just mail us. Mail at The Music Row Show. All kinds of ways to reach us.
You can mail? You mean if somebody has a question, they
can
stick
email
a letter?
Email. No,
oh, email.
No, no.
You said old-fashioned, so.
Yeah, I did. Well,
lick a stamp.
Email is old-fashioned by now, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll, carrier pigeon, we'll do anything.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And then we'll call Jim Ed and ask him the question a month from
we'll
now.
We'll call you next week with all those questions.
Hey, we got a big show tonight.
That's right. We got a hit recording artist and Grand Ole Opry star, Jim Ed Brown, here with us in the first hour.
That's right. And then we're going to be invaded by a motley crew, Sam and Dave.
Yeah.
Now, I say Sam and Dave, but it's not the
Sam and Dave.
Katrina got so excited. It's hit songwriters Sam Tate and Dave Gibson are going to be here hanging out with us an hour or two.
Sweet. All right, Scott, let's not keep these people in suspense anymore, won't you? Introduce our guest here.
What suspense? You just told him who it was.
Well, but your incredibly written intro is
yes. Oh, this is beautiful. Well, and this
would
is all.
Like, would you like for me to give my own intro?
No, I got you. I got you. The first time I took my mom to the Grand Ole Opry 10 years ago, right after we moved here, tonight's guest came on stage and started singing a great big pop country hit of his called Three Bells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, my mom started jumping up and down in the seat and got all giddy and like doing this with her hands. And she goes, oh, I love him. I used to have such a crush on him. I love this song. And she was just going off.
Right.
So naturally, I went home and looked up some info on this guy who was so shamelessly flirting with my mother from across the Opry House on stage. And what a career. First with his sisters in the hit group, the Browns, and then a very, very successful solo career, including the signature hit Papa Top. Then a massive string of duet hits with Helen Cornelius that led to being named the CMA Top Vocal Duo of 1976.
Nice.
Now go ahead and add successful radio personality, TV host, and regular Opry performances on the list, and then top it off with his first CD project in 30 years, a terrific collection of new songs called In Style Again, which is a great CD. I've really been enjoying it the last couple of weeks. It just hit stores this week. Is that correct?
That's right.
So it is an honor. It is a pleasure to say Grand Ole Opry star Jim Ed Brown, welcome to the Music Row Show. We're glad you're here.
Thank you. Woo! Oh, my.
You left out Snappy Dresser.
Applause is great, but it sure is nice to have the opportunity to come in here and say hello to everybody that's listening to WSM. You know what? This is the greatest station in the world.
I agree.
Absolutely.
But, I thoroughly enjoy coming in and visiting. I get to listen to you every once in a while.
Yeah.
But what a great honor it is for me to be here.
Well, that's nice. Well, thank you.
I'm
nice
not much of a writer, but I can sing.
Well, you say that, but I believe your first big hit with the Browns was a song you'd wrote in college.
True. Looking Back to Sea.
That's right.
Looking Back to Sea, Here Today and Gone Tomorrow. We wrote a few of the first ones, and then I quit writing. Maxine continued on. She kept writing, but, and I recorded some of her songs, but I quit. I don't know why. I got mixed up in the business some way.
That'll do it.
Well, the new album is amazing. I've been listening to it also for the last week or so, and you know, technically it's billed as a solo album, but there's so many guest appearances on there, and especially the I would guess long-awaited reunion of the Browns on the first track on the album.
There are some great stories in this album that I've through the years that I've collected and all, and what a pleasure it was to be able to record them.
Yeah,
that's the thing. When the Sun Says Hello to the Mountain. I held on to that since 1970 when I first found it. I was on tour in Germany, and your home.
Well,
your father. Your
my dad's home, yeah.
But I found it over there, and I said, you know, I'm going to keep this, take it home. I tried to get the Browns to come back in the studio at that time. This was 1970.
So you guys had already stopped?
They retired in 67, and okay. They said, no, we're retired. You go on and do it yourself. Well, I didn't do it, so I kept it all this time. And then when Plowboy gave me the opportunity to do this album, I said, love this. This is one of the songs I want to do.
All right.
And they liked it, too.
So what?
But there are some others in there, too.
They turned you down the first time. So what made them finally come around to your way of thinking and come in and do it this time?
Well, I guess it's the way I asked them.
Okay.
I didn't give them a choice.
I see. My wife does that a lot, too.
Yeah. But anyway, Bonnie came. Maxine, at the time, whenever we were about to go into the studio, Maxine was incapacitated.
Ah.
She couldn't do it with us, and, you know, it felt bad. But Bonnie, it's what a surprise. She came in and did Maxine's part, and then she did her part.
Wow.
And you know what? We played it for Maxine, and Maxine says, you know, she said, I don't know that I can deny that's me if somebody asked me.
Wow.
Because it was so much like Maxine.
That's amazing.
I thought it was great. Anyway, we'll play it sometime later on tonight.
Bonnie's had a lot of time singing with her. She probably had her sister down pretty good.
She did that.
a couple things really stuck out to me as I was listening to the CD again, In Style Again. First off, the recordings are just gorgeous. I'm a lyric guy, but I kept getting lost in the production and the musicianship.
Don Cusick did a good job.
My goodness. It's a beautiful, beautiful recording. And then the other thing, through the whole CD, it really sounded like you were just having a ball in there.
I was.
I could hear the happiness in your voice. I mean, talk about the sessions and the recording.
Oh, well, some of the finest musicians in Nashville, Tennessee came in to work with me on it. And they came up with, you know, some great sounds and all. That's typical Nashville, though.
Yeah.
Nashville has the greatest musicians in the world, session musicians, you know. They've also got the greatest road musicians. I know I've got a great band that travels with me.
Right.
And I used one of the boys on this session. I used two of them on In Style Again when I recorded that. But I like to take my boys whenever I can and use them. But Nashville, the session pickers here are just great.
Right.
But It was fun to get in the studio again and give them the opportunity to put their touch on everything. And but you know, what can you say?
Well, what was it like being back in the studio? Because it had been a long time since you'd recorded. I mean, how much has changed in the process over the years?
Well, you know, through the years, we're supposed to progress. We're supposed to get better. We're supposed to improve.
Mm-hmm.
And recording, let me go back to 1954 when I first did my first record.
Mm-hmm.
It was only one track.
Wow.
We didn't have two tracks even then. And then a little bit later, here come two track. And we could, you know, we could splice and all that. But then after two track, here come four and eight. And first thing you know, it's 64, then it's 164,
right.
And then it's 5,000.
Yeah, now it's unlimited,
but
yeah.
Going into the studio now, you get the opportunity to, if you mess up somewhere, you can go back and change it without having to redo the whole thing.
Right.
Whenever we first started, if you made a mistake, the whole band had to go back, and we did it all over
again. Did the whole thing again.
But
that would make it real popular, I would imagine, in the studio.
Studios have become so, they're, you know, so popular and all. But recording is fantastic, and the musicianship has improved through the years, too.
You know what's incredible? Hearing you say that back in the 50s, it was just a one track.
Yeah.
Just on the way in, I was listening to Hank Williams' So Lonesome I Could Cry, and that steel guitar in there, it's so lush and beautiful, and I'm thinking, man, they just recorded the room with one or two mics. That's right. Just incredible to me. Mm-hmm. Just a whole other world.
It's a whole other world out there now. And it's fun. You know, it's fun to get in there and do things and work on new material.
Mm-hmm.
And then go into the studio with all these musicians around Nashville here that are so creative also. You know, the writers write some great songs.
Mm-hmm.
But then the musicians have to come in, and they do their part. But also the artist has to do his part.
Right.
So it's a fun thing nowadays.
That's great.
That's awesome. Well, we spoke about reunions earlier with the Browns. Another long-awaited reunion was you singing with Helen Cornelius again. Don't Cross Me Over is a great song.
Don't Let Me Cross Over.
Don't Let Me Cross Over.
That goes back to a duet some time ago.
Yeah. Well, what is it about your two voices, you think, that makes it just work? They blend together so well.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Okay.
But my producer at RCA at the time, he put us together. He heard this girl from... I went in to RCA and talked to him about a year earlier. I said, you know, I sure would like to find a girl or somebody to come into my show, because I was doing a lot of shows on the road.
Right.
And you know, and help and all, and be a part of the show. And he played this girl's tape for me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like it, because I thought she was too high. I thought she was, you know. Well, I didn't know who it was even then. A year later, he calls me and he says, Jim Ed, I found this song I think you need to listen to. I went in, listened to it, and I said, oh, Bob, his name was Bob Ferguson. I said, Bob, this is a great song. When can I do it? I said, I'm in town next week. You think we could get the musicians and all, you know, in studio time next week? And he said, well, I want to do this as a duet.
Uh-huh.
Kind of blew my mind, because the Browns had retired, and I wasn't thinking about a duet partner, you know, to sing duet with. I was just thinking one to do a show.
You kind of had moved on from that type of thing. So, yeah.
Right. And he said, I want to do this with Helen Cornelius. And I said, Helen who? she had not been recording or anything.
Right.
Anyway, he called her, said, Helen, can you be here? And she came in town. We met in the studio. The rest of it, you know. But, it's, you know, he's the one that put us together. And I didn't know if he knew that there was going to be the magic there that was, but it was great, wasn't it?
And did you notice it as soon as you guys started singing together?
As soon as we heard the playback.
Really?
Uh-huh. We knew it.
Wow.
So were you, back when that happened, were you singing together, or was it layered in, you guys were in the studio at different times, or?
Well, that was the first time we were in the studio. In fact, I didn't meet her until we, in the studio. I'm always early to get in the studio and get things set up and ready for the session and all. Well, she wasn't there. She had not come in. So I had the microphone set and the music stand and the words and all. So in walked this little short lady, 5 foot. And I went and got a Coke box out of the corner of the for her to stand on.
Mic stands didn't go that low, huh? Yeah.
But we've recorded on one microphone.
Okay.
Okay. So you guys were actually singing together at the same time and had never met each other on the same microphone.
Nope.
Good gravy. And it came out sounding that amazing.
It did.
Wow. That's an actual duet right there. That's what that is.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Well, let's take a break.
Let's do that.
We should probably let our listeners know that this segment was brought to you by our friends over at Toyota of Cool Springs. Now, as you know, both Heino and I are drivers of Toyotas.
Drivers of Toyotas. That is
indeed
very true. And we love that dealership. They make you feel so at home, so welcome, no pressure. I go and get my work done there as well, oil changes, that kind of thing. And they're just awesome to deal with. They really are.
Toyota of Cool Springs. Ask for George, the owner. He's going to take really, really good care of you on the web at toyotaofcoolsprings.com.
That's right. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with more of Jim Ed Brown here on the Music Row Show.
Like an old sharecropper's shack in need of paint, I can't pretend to be something that I ain't. I'd give my right arm if I could see that look in your eyes when you still believed in me. I'd like to be in style again someday. No one wants to feel like they've been thrown away.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Music Row Show.
Why did you turn it down? Turn it back on.
We are here with the great Jim Ed Brown, and that is a song called In Style Again, the title track on his brand new project, In Style Again, Jim Ed Brown. It's awesome. It's even autographed right there. Check that out.
Beautiful, beautiful,
very,
beautiful.
Very nice. Well, I should give a shout out to listener Melinda. She just texted in, says she's seen you many, many, many times and loves you very much. And she's asking about your health, wants to know how you're doing these days.
I am doing very well, thank you. This cancer thing has not been easy. But thank goodness, I think we're about to beat it all.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
Fabulous.
I think that deserves a round
absolutely.
Of applause right there.
Absolutely.
As my daughter says, I'm in remission.
There you go.
Good, 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 good.
You, again, talking about this CD, what finally motivated you to do a new project, and how did you get hooked up with the Plowboy Records folks?
Eddie Arnold was a great friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of shows with Eddie from all around the country. In fact, we even played Carnegie Hall, and I got a standing ovation, and he didn't.
How'd that go over?
When we got back home, I wasn't with him anymore. But anyway, now that's just a little kind of a inside joke. But anyway, we were good friends, and his grandson, he left his grandson in charge of the trust, you know, for the Eddie Arnold Empire and all.
Right.
So we were talking one day. I found out that he was going to do an album on Eddie Arnold songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I'd love to do one of those because I sing Eddie Arnold every once in a while. And we were talking, and just one thing led to another. The first thing you know, I'm not doing the Eddie Arnold song. I'm doing an album of my own. And that's where it came from.
Oh.
It's just, you know, Don Cusick got involved. Mm-hmm. When I signed the contract, his name was in the contract. So here we go. But well, Don has done a great job with not only writing some of the songs, but he also produced some great songs.
So then what happened there? Was it you did the Eddie song and everybody had such a good time, they said, you know what, let's do a whole album of you. I mean, how does that transition happen?
I didn't do an Eddie song.
It just
one thing led to another, and to talk and talk and talk. You know how you can talk yourself into something and out of it at the same time?
Well, yes.
We didn't yeah. talk ourselves out of it anyway. So, but that's how it came about.
I'll be darned.
Uh-huh.
Well, the title track that we just heard a piece of,
right.
I understand that the writer's wife didn't like the song.
No.
And it got, how did it get to you? Tell us that story.
My secretary at the time, she was out at one of the guitar pulls. They have a lot of guitar pulls around Nashville, you know, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the writer was at one of these guitar pulls, and he was there, and he said, you know, my wife doesn't like this song, but I'm going to sing it anyway. And I don't know if she was in the audience or not, but anyway, when my secretary heard it, she said, you know, that would be a great song for Jim Ed. So she got the song, brought it to me, and I said, yes, what a great song that is. I had talked to Bobby Bear.
Ah.
A couple of 3 years before, and I said, Bobby, because he'd been producing his son and some mm-hmm. other, you know, some other things. And I said, if I ever find a song that I think is a hit, would you want to produce it for me? And he said, well, if I think it's a hit, maybe.
Okay. So I'm playing hard to get.
When I found, no, that's just Bobby. When I found the song, I took it out to his house and played it for he and his wife. And he sat back in his chair, when it's all over with, he sat back in his chair, thought a minute, and he said, you know, he said, that might be a hit, might it?
Uh-huh.
And I said, yeah. I said, I think so. He said, you want to produce it? And he said, well, how are you going to do it? And I said, well, how would you want me to do it? So anyway, we got in the studio and got the musicians together. And the rest of it you hear.
Mm. My
it's
goodness.
Beautiful, beautiful.
You didn't even put in the obligatory rap section. You know, I mean, you left that part out.
That's the next album.
No, well, the Browns did a rap song way back yonder in the late 60s.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
What was that called?
Early 60s somewhere. Every time I think about how you left me so sad and blue, it makes me so doggone mad. I don't know what to do. The dance had just started. But you don't go.
Wow.
You know, he's a pretty good beatboxer. We could probably, yeah, we could probably get a thing going here.
I could get some spit all over this microphone.
Oh, no.
Good old Bill Cody would be very happy with me tomorrow morning.
Well, Bill Cody, talk about, you touched on it earlier, but talk a little more about Jim Ed, the songwriter. Like we said, that the first few hits were songs that you and your sister wrote and you wrote. After the first couple, were you thinking, well, man, this songwriting, hit songwriting thing's a breeze?
Well, it was, kind of, because Maxine was doing most of it.
Oh, yeah?
That's easy right there. Yeah.
Charlie Louvin said one time, he said, well, I didn't write the song. Said, Ira wrote the song. I just held the paper, you know, and the pencils, and I provided them and the ideas.
I got you.
So anyway, that's, Maxine and I, you know, I did the melodies most of the time, and mm-hmm. she did the actual writing of the songs. But we did, you know, Looking Back to Sea and Here Today and Gone Tomorrow, which was also another number song for us. Dragon Main Street. We had quite a few back of the early songs way back then.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we came to RCA, she and Ira Louvin wrote the song I Take the Chance, was our first real number one song.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was kind of out of it at that time because I was working at the sawmill and running the nightclub and all this other stuff.
Right,
I had my hands full.
This was after you returned from the Army.
Right.
Your dad, your folks owned a sawmill, and you
right.
said, you know what? You guys go do some traveling. I got this.
Well, my dad was in ill health.
Mm-hmm.
He had been working awfully hard, you know, and my dad only had one leg,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, that hindered him some. But anyway, he was in bad health, and when I got out of the service, and I told him, I said, well, why don't you just let me run the mill here and saw, you know, the woods and all. I said, you take off for a year and go fishing, you and Mama.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he did. He took me up.
And you weren't expecting that, huh?
The worst thing that I ever did in my life.
Now, why? Oh. Just because of how hard the work was?
Oh, God. I weighed about 225 pounds when I got out of the Army.
Uh-huh.
When he came back one day and said, well, I'm back, I weighed about 180.
Oh. The sawmill diet.
Let me tell you, I was never so glad to see him come back.
Man. So you weren't able to do any music or anything during that time at all?
Not hardly.
Wow.
We would, sometimes we would, but actually we did very little because Maxine, she was married and she was having her children, and so mm-hmm. were Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both, you know, involved in their family life.
Sure.
And I was involved in my life and what I was doing there. So really we didn't. In fact, whenever we decided to go, Chet called us and said, I think you children should come up here and do another song.
Chet Atkins.
Uh-huh, Chet mm-hmm. Atkins. And so on the way up, we decided that we were just going to tell him that we were going to retire because we weren't doing anything.
Right.
Maxine was doing, and Bonnie both. Anyway, when we got there, Bonnie and I had done a song in high school choir called Les Trois Cloches, the story of the three bells, Little Jimmy Brown.
Okay.
Anyway, when we got there, Chet said, well, after we told him what we were thinking about doing, he said, is there any song that you've never recorded that you would like to? And Bonnie and I said, yes. Maxine had not heard the song, except in the car on the way up. We had sung it a few times. And he said, okay, well, let's do it. So we got in the studio, and it was too long. So with Anita Kerr and Chet and all, and we decided to take half the verses out. So half the verses are not in the song. But it still tells a great story.
It's just the beginning, middle, and end. We missed some of the other.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
How long was it? Do you remember?
It was a little over 5 minutes.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, back then, if you had a song over 3 minutes long, the radio stations couldn't play it.
Right.
Because they had to play double BMI and all, you know. So.
Right.
They didn't. So we told them it's 2:59. Actually, it was 3:10. But
who's counting?
Who's counting?
Nobody sat down with a stopwatch to prove you
anyway,
wrong.
Anyway, we didn't have computers back then, you know, to start the next commercial, you know, and cut off the end of it. So, but anyway, that's after the session. He said, "You girls, boys, think you might be going to retire, but he said I think you've just recorded the greatest song that you've ever recorded."
Whoa!
And which it turned out to be true.
How crazy is that? Because that was number one on the pop and country charts.
Rhythm and blues.
And it was in rhythm and blues, and it was a choir tune, a high school choir tune.
That's where we found him. Yeah. Actually, the Le Compagnon, what's her name? I can't even think of her name now. In France, Edith Piaf first recorded the song back in the 30s. And then she heard this group called the Les Compagnons de la Chanson Singers. And she put them together and started working. They worked the road with her. And she got them to record the song. And that's where we heard it the first time.
Really?
From them. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Les Comptes, what?
Les Compagnons de la Chanson.
Right, right.
That's we.
So then, I'm guessing there was an English. How did you handle the language thing? Because I haven't heard the song. Is it in French or?
It's in French.
It's in French. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now that's huge right there. That a song becomes a hit and it's not even in English, because usually that doesn't happen.
And was the character always Little Jimmy Brown in the song?
Mm-hmm. As far as I know.
How crazy is that?
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's in English? Oh, it's in English. I just got corrected on the side.
Well, your choir version was in English, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
But in France, it was a French version.
In high school, gotcha. I don't know of anybody. I didn't know anybody at the time that spoke French.
Right.
So
in Arkansas, not a lot of.
In English, or either my high school choir director, she didn't speak French either.
Mm-mm.
So she wouldn't have done it in French.
Okay.
Well, isn't Arkansas a French word? No. No, it's not?
No, Arkansas is not a French word. I know.
It was close.
Oh, my goodness.
They don't speak a lot of French.
French fries, maybe.
In fact, when the sun says hello to the mountain, I started to do one of the verses in French.
Really?
And I called some of my disc jockey friends, and they said, "Yeah, man, none of your people that buy your records, they don't speak French. Why you want to do that?" So I did.
Mm-hmm. Well.
A little German, too, but, you know.
Well, maybe you can do a dance remix with German and French for when you do the European tour, the leg of the tour, right?
Now, you did mention earlier that you've recorded in German. Was that one of the songs that you recorded
in German? I've recorded in Japanese, and I've recorded in Spanish.
Wow.
Very little in English, but...
Yeah.
No wonder you hadn't done an album.
So how did that work? Somebody translates it for you, writes it up, and you learn it phonetically, or...?
Japanese, yes.
Yeah.
The French and the German, the German and the Italian... wasn't so hard, but French, the Japanese, there was a young lady here that got in the studio with me and helped me with the German song.
Right.
Sent it to Germany, and Germany said, sent it to Japan, excuse me. They said, "We can't release this. This is like, in German, you got high and low German, you know."
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You can't release a low German because you have to. It has to be in high German. Well, they said, "This is like low German." So they sent an interpreter over here to go into the studio with me and work with me. And that's how I did the Japanese.
No kidding.
That must have been a hoot.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That must have been. Kimiya tatoki.
Do you remember any of it to this day?
Kimiya hetaloto etane, sono hotoku de ude, boku wa koyoshite shimata.
Just rolls right off the tongue. I love that.
That just simply says, "You're the most beautiful girl in the world."
Wow.
Sure. I believe you. If you say so.
Well, I think we should say so. Let's take another break. We're going to be back with much more with the great Jim Ed Brown, Grand Ole Opry star. Stick around. We're going to be right back.
Don't let me cross over love's cheating line. I've tempted my darling to steal you away. Don't let me cross over. Stay out of my way.
You know that I love you, and I'm not the stealing kind. But I'm faced with heartache and love's cheating line.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Don't Let Me Cross Over, beautiful duet with Jim Ed Brown and Helen Cornelius off of his brand new project, In Style Again. That is so awesome. We actually have a question, quick question from listener Melinda wants to know if she wrote you a letter and addressed it to the Opry, would you get it?
I sure will.
Absolutely great. Awesome.
I sure will.
So there you go. Right away.
And let's talk about the Opry, because you've been a member of the Opry since 1963.
51. Okay. No. 63. I've been there 51 years.
Oh, 51 years.
But,
okay.
Yeah, 63 was when you were made a member. Right. What does the Opry mean to you? And and then what do you remember about the first time you and your sisters walked on that stage?
Golly. Number one, how do I go back that far? But the Opry is a great second home, if you want to put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
My home, you know, for my wife and my family and all, is the first one. And but whenever you can go and be with your peers and have a chance to visit with them and sit in a dressing room and talk and chat, and I was walking down the hall not long ago, headed to the Opry stage to be on. Vince Gill stuck his head out the door and he said, "Jim Ed, I just recorded harmony on your last song." I said, "Whoa,
you did!
I didn't know that." You know, because we had said the producer had said something about him doing it, you know, at the studio. But I didn't think any more about it. I said, "Well, if you want harmony, I'll do it." You know, but anyway, he got Vince to do it, which really surprised me.
For Tried and True, right?
Yeah, for Tried and
yeah,
True.
Yeah, great song.
Tried and True, but the Opry is a great place, you know, number one, it's a great place to go and sing your songs,
mm-hmm.
and have an audience, you know, that listens to it, and hopefully they like them. But also, WSM reaches all over this world, just about,
right?
You know,
that's right. Yeah.
And nowadays, even with the web and all, it reaches further than it does just on the airways. But the first time I remember. The first time we did the Opry was just Maxine and I.
Mm-hmm.
When Looking Back to Sea was out, and it was a big hit for us, we got the opportunity to do the Opry. We came out for one of the disc jockey convention things.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the Browns, we did it a couple of times. But then in 1963, when they invited us to come and be on the Opry, then what a thrill that was.
Mm.
Ernest Tubb introduced us the first time on the Grand Ole Opry.
Wow.
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 That's pretty amazing.
Still remember.
Yeah.
That.
How bad were the knees shaking?
Oh, ho, ho. Well, Elvis Presley would have been happy.
He would have thought you were imitating him.
Lessons from you, yeah. That's awesome.
Well, show me that knee thing one more time,
yeah,
Jim.
Yeah. Let's see if I can get that. Well, I got to ask about Papa Top. Big, big hit for you. Now, I was surprised to find out that song had actually been recorded before on another artist before you recorded.
Nat Stuckey, the writer.
Yeah, right. Well, talk about the decision to record something another artist has put out, because that doesn't really happen too much anymore these days, especially that soon after.
Nat Stuckey had written quite a few songs, and he sent this acetate to Chet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in Chet's office one day, and Chet opened up the package. And he saw who it was from, and he said, "Take this home and listen to it, because I don't have time."
Okay.
So I did. I took it home, listened to it. I found the song Papa Top, and I took it back, and I said, "Chip, I think this song is a hit, but it's not a hit by him. I hear it, you know, done a little differently." So he said, "Well, let's call up and see what's happening with it." So he called Nat. Nat said, "I hate to tell you this, but that's my next single." My feathers, you know, they just fell, because I knew that I couldn't, if I recorded it, I could release it, because he wouldn't give me a license for it.
Right.
So anyway, Chet said, "Well, we'll just wait and see what happens to it." 2 months later, I go back to Chet and I say, "Chet, his song is not going to be a hit." He said, "Well, why don't you take this, get Felton Jarvis, and go down to Studio B and see what you can do with it." So we did, and of course, the rest of it is history.
Now, you said it was different. What was different about your version versus the previous version?
The beat was different.
Okay.
He didn't have the same beat that I had. And also, we put the little pop on the top, on the front of it. Yeah, Jimmy Dean was there. Jimmy Dean was, And he and and Felton and our engineer and myself, there was a little old store a block away that, you know, the convenience store.
Right.
So we go down to this convenience store, and Jimmy Dean's got the money. So we let him, he was going to buy some beer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we said, you know, Jimmy, by the time we get the sound that we want, we'll have a bunch of beer cans sitting out there, and they'll get hot. So we got Dr. Pepper instead. And that's, in fact, Jimmy sent me a bill a couple of times, and I haven't paid it yet for the Dr. Peppers.
I love the fact that as a collective group recording, y'all didn't want to waste good beer by letting it get warm. That shows a lot of concern for the craft of brewing.
Well, I don't drink. I've never drank a bottle of beer, but that being said, they did. Well, they would have if we'd have gotten some beer.
The session might have turned out completely differently.
That's right.
You know what? It might have.
That's right.
Anyway, we need to take a quick break, but we're going to be back with a whole lot more of Jim Ed Brown here on the Music Row Show.
There's no need for you to ever search to find somebody new. When the one who loves you most is here, waiting, tried and true, you won't ever need to wonder where I am or what I'll do. I've proven myself faithful, tested, tried and true. Tried and true, like no other, tried and true, my love for you. Oh, I promise that forever you will find me tried and true.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Tried and True, great song off of the new Jim Ed Brown project called
Featuring
In Style
Gill.
And that's Vince Gill doing harmonies back there.
Very nice.
He did two parts on that.
Two parts. At the same time?
And he didn't charge me.
Wow.
That's nice.
That's very nice.
Well, he only charged me for one.
Oh, man.
Again, the album is In Style Again. And Jim Ed, where is it available? Where can people get it?
You can get it on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also get it on Amazon.
Yes.
But Ernest Tubb Record Shop is going to have it very soon.
Sweet.
They may already have it, but... You know, your record shops around the country, they have the opportunity to carry it also. And I don't know which ones, you know, who all has it right at this particular
time.
Okay,
but iTunes and Amazon's a good place to start.
Your website as well, right?
And right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. JimEdBrown.com.
JimEdBrown.com.
Very good.
Well, awesome. That's awesome. Well, a little shameless plug for you. You have
Thank
a great
you.
Radio show as well, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I do.
Tell us
Country
about
Music
that.
Greats.
Uh-huh. Country Music Greats.
I enjoy that. It gives me the opportunity to talk about some of the songs and all that was recorded back in the 50s and the 60s that I was around, you know, and I remember some of the stories, mm-hmm. some of the artist stories on the artist as well as the songs.
Right.
And I get to tell, you know, those stories on my radio show, you know, because, my golly, 1950s, 60s, along there.
Sure.
Not people around that heard those songs. So, so I get to tell. Now, some of them are true.
Well, that's good to
that's
know.
A bonus, right?
We just
there.
Have to
that's,
figure out which ones.
That's
okay.
a bonus. Right
now, we had a listener asking about when he was coming back to the
that's
Opry.
That's right. And when are you coming back to the Opry?
I'm going to do it this weekend.
This weekend?
For the first time. Yes, sir. In 4 months, a little over 4 months.
So,
now.
Would that be Friday or Saturday?
Friday and Saturday. Uh-huh.
Friday.
That is
yep.
exciting.
Yep.
So, and this
I
is.
I thought I would try them both. You know, just see, I don't know if I can sing yet.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to have to rehearse a little bit this week to see if I can. But I'm going to try it anyway.
Well, lip syncing is all the rage. Just do that.
Not on the Opry.
I don't think that works on radio.
Pete, I'm very, very sorry I said that. Please forgive me.
That does not happen on the Opry.
No.
Well, that's exciting. And this is big news because you haven't announced that yet.
Right.
So
that's
this
right.
weekend.
That's really true.
Fans, it's time to come back to the Opry and see Jim Ed Brown.
You can go to opry.com
for
tickets.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
I bet. Now
I've missed it.
I bet you have. Now, I had a question about you were on the Louisiana Hayride with your sisters, mm-hmm. and then the Ozark Jubilee.
Right.
Now, and back then, did you have to pick one exclusively, or were you able to do all the different shows?
Well, the Louisiana Hayride, of course, the Grand Ole Opry was going at that time, but the Louisiana Hayride, we joined the Louisiana Hayride because that's where we thought, you know, where we thought they would accept us.
Mm-hmm.
But the Ozark Jubilee, that was the first network television show for country music,
right?
You know, with Red Foley and all of that bunch, and we loved that. The first day we were there, we got 1,300 pieces of cards and letters in the mail.
Really?
It was unreal at that time. Yeah. Whenever we walked in, they poured them out of bushel baskets. You know, all the letters and cards and all.
Did you actually have time to go through them all and answer them all? Or
no. I still don't have time to answer all the. You know what? I have to say this to all the people that's listening in out there.
Yeah.
I didn't know that I had to get sick to have so many friends. But they all sent me cards and letters and get well wishes and the prayers and everything. And that was so great. I could sit, you know, and go through those, and it just lifted me up so much every day that it was great whenever I got those. And I thank them all for putting me on their prayer list.
Well, that's awesome.
There you
go.
And we thank you for coming on and hanging out with us this hour. It's been a real pleasure and an honor to have you here with us.
It's been my pleasure.
Once again, the album is In Style Again.
That's right. You can find it at jimedbrown.com and, of course, iTunes and all the usual online places that you can buy music. And it is really, really good.
There's also the White Sisters are on that, on a song that...
Right.
I've loved the song ever since I heard the Forrester Sisters sing it, what, 25 years ago. I Choose You Again.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I heard the song, I said, well, if I record this, I'm going to get the Whites, because they had been wanting to do something with me for some time.
Well,
and I thought it was a great chance, and it was. It turned out really good.
It awesome. Did, the whole
well,
thank
album. Thank you very much for joining us. We've got another great Out of the Show coming up with hit songwriter Sam Tate and Dave Gibson going to be joining us, so we're really looking forward to that. Come on back to the Music Row Show in just a few minutes.
Thank you all.